Okay, open your Bibles if you would. What? Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. So wisdom, wisdom from God has as much to do with words as it does actions. And as it goes, what's inside usually finds its way outside, whether it be of the flesh or of the spirit. And however bad the tongue may be, and it is, hold your place here in Proverbs. We'll go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. If you don't have a good impression about your heart, you're in good company. And if you don't have a good impression about your tongue, you're in good company. Because neither one of them, in and of themselves, in the flesh, are any good. James chapter 3, go down here, verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. So, as bad as it is, and it is, the heart is at the mouth root. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I mean, as bad as the mouth is, it comes from the heart. So we're going to begin here in chapter 15 with, of all things, the tongue. Verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Would you agree with the fact that we greatly need an instrument capable of turning away wrath? I mean, wrath is a little bit more than just a little angry. Because there's a great wrath in the world today to be turned away. We have to have an instrument to do that. So verse 1 takes us in a place we probably didn't think we were going to go, but it assumes the anger is sinful in character, or maybe excessive in degree, but there are occasions in which the righteous do well to be angry. So hold your place again, Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. We know from Ephesians 4 that we hear, be angry and sin not. And most anger is anger to convenience or inconvenience. And that's where the sin comes in. You've got something to do and somebody comes along, asks you to do something else, you get mad. Well, that's not a righteous anger by any means. Anyway, Mark chapter 3 and verse 1. And he, speaking about the Lord, entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto him, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. When he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored, whole as the other. So the Lord Jesus Christ was angry in his humanity, but the explanation was because of the hardness of people's hearts. And I think that's legitimate. So Proverbs chapter 14, yes, the last time we finally got done, verse 17, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and the man of wicked devices is hated. Put all these together. Verse 29, He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. If all our anger were grief for sin, and grief for sin or only anger, I don't believe that would displease God at all or disturb most men. And not all men, because there's some people that are so hard. Nothing, a tender answer, a soft answer is not going to make any difference. It's just who they are. And that's the second part of the verse. A soft answer, which is tender, it implies concern and consideration for the other person. The truth doesn't have to be contentious. But if it is, it's often overlooked or disregarded because of the method of delivery. You have two ways to do something. You can give a hard answer, or you can give a soft answer. But the hard answer is going to, you know, continue to make it worse. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 15, it talks about speaking the truth in love. And that works. Let me give you an example. In Gideon in Judges chapter 8, a soft answer, and then we'll get the illustration of the opposite here in a little bit. Judges chapter 8 and verse 1. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, Why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not, when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. And he said unto them, What have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God has delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you? Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. So there's a great example of giving a soft answer. They were mad. You know, why didn't you include us? And he said, you did much more than I did. Okay? But hold your place in Judges. The opposite of that, grievous words stir up anger. So go to chapter 12. By the words, the grievous words stir up anger. That's an experiential issue, of which probably we're all guilty at one time or another. Wrath generates grievous words, and grievous words aggravate the wrath that produced them. It's a compound system that works that way. And then it goes on and on until something happens, some break in the chain of events, and people go their own way. Right, so here's the example in chapter 12, and that is at Jephthah, Judges chapter 12. And we'll read verse 1. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, Wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon, and didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thy house upon thee with fire. And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon. And when I called you, you delivered me not out of their hands. When I saw that ye delivered me not, I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore, then, are ye come up against me this day to fight against me? Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim, and the men of Gilead smote Ephraim, because they said, Ye Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim, among the Ephraimites and among the Manassehites. And then you see how it ended. It ended badly. But you had two people, both with the opportunity to do the smart thing, give a soft answer. One did, one didn't. One turned out okay, the other one didn't. So, verse 2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. So the verse says that a wise man knows how to use knowledge so that it will be profitable, fruitful. And he knows when to speak, and he knows when not to speak. The fool is always ready with a comeback or a retaliation. Whether it's fitting or not, it doesn't matter. First person I engaged in conversation and witnessing. Now, I had given up a lot of tracts, and most of the time with those tracts, I didn't get into any conversation. It was just, if you would read this, then I'd have a title, Am I Going to Heaven? And I said, can you answer that question? And then I'd tell them to read it, and if it made sense, you know, to trust the Lord as Savior. Well, here was a guy that I worked with, and I was the assistant manager at McDonald's. He was just a regular night employee. And I got into gave him a track and started talking to him. And I got into an argument with him over the dumbest subject, communism. And being my dad being a military guy and the kind that was very much into communism and so forth. And I mean, we were nose to nose. And I never was able to reach that guy, to my own shame. But hopefully I learned from that. I don't need to win an argument, but I should be looking to win a soul. And the important thing that I learned out of that was, so what? That you know, I won that argument. I won the argument, but not, it didn't do me any good. There's lots of things we can do that way. I remember in Bible college, we played ball at the in Hollywood at the Yankee. It wasn't a foreign team. It was AAA, I think. They played there, and so we got to use the field. And so we would go out after lunch, and we'd only be there from maybe 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And so one day we go out there, and one of the public schools was already out there. And so it turned into an argument and said, you know, we already had the field reserved for us. And they, of course, said, no, you didn't, and we went back and forth. And then they stormed off, and we never got to use the field again. So, you know, we could have walked off and probably should have and said, go for it. You know, it's not going to, you're not going to get it every time anyway. So you have to be careful here. You don't need these things when you're really acquainted with the wisdom, and you've got to put it to use. If you've got the knowledge, then put it to use. All right, verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. All right, to know that God's eyes are on all our ways, I believe is joyful and sweet and welcome when there's confidence and hope in Him manifested by our obedience to His Word. Does it bother you that he saw everything you did today? If everything you did today was in His will, and in obedience to His Word, should you be ashamed of any of that? No. But for the wicked, to know that he can never hide from those all-seeing eyes, probably one of the most terrible things he has to face here on earth. To live with that, I think at times becomes unbearable if a person is kind of honest. So he seeks, we're talking about the wicked here, so he seeks to be enabled or excused in what he's done, ultimately resulting that he believes the lies that he's been telling. And so it's sin that's repented of that makes it such a dreadful thing to be under the eyes of God. If you don't do that, then you're facing his judgment if you're saved, and of course another judgment if you're lost. So you acknowledge your sin, and you repent before Him. You need no longer fear, because sin confessed is sin removed through the blood of Christ. It's still active. So the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Are there things that you kind of cower in the dark about because, you know, they weren't right? The Lord saw those too. Preach that message about He knows everything. He sees everything. So, verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Okay? I'm going to give you some things that this verse does not say. A silent tongue. It does not say a silent tongue. We've been told to occupy until He comes back for us. If you have a talent, and according to the New Testament, there was a 5, a 2, and a 1. All right, so if you have one talent, and you bury it in the earth, you are counted as slothful and wicked. I think idleness is evil under God's administration. God wants you to do something with what you know, what you have. It may not be the same as somebody else. That's okay. It's what you've been given. Silent tongue. You've not been given a silent tongue. Most of us don't have a silent tongue. Some people do, but not all of us. And we shouldn't be silent with what we have. Number two, it's not a smooth tongue. Go with me to Proverbs 5. Proverbs chapter 5. And look here in verse 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Creepy. Smoothness is not the equivalent for truth. You get with the prosperity movement, you get with some of the dynamic false religions of the day, many of them use smooth words to deceive the gullible. I've watched and seen people with bobbleheads, and the guy's preaching false. And they're all, And what are they basing that on? I guess their attachment to, you know, the person. But a smooth tongue is not the answer in verse 4 to the tree of life. All right, number 3. Not a person that begins talking as soon as they get up in the morning until they fall asleep at night, and never a period in between. You know what I'm talking about? They're always talking. There's never any quietness. It's kind of like talk shows. Most of the time, it's talk. It doesn't produce anything. It can aggravate you. It can make you happy. But it doesn't produce any results insofar as legislation or anything like that. All right, number 4, and go with me to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. And it's not a sharp tongue. Look at verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. So this is what we've already seen. The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. James chapter 1 and verse 20. It's not our business to cut people in half. It's just not. Or quarter them. Or anything else. That's not. There's no wisdom in that whatsoever. And really, doing that violates verse 1. And you stir up wrath. Now, understand what I'm going to say here. I hope you don't take it wrong. It's not even a true tongue. Only. What I mean by that is truth is the foundation of everything good in speech. Everything we put forth. But it's only the foundation. It's not enough. it must also be wholesome. You've got to attach something to that. And that's why I put all these others in there first. If it's any of these others, then it can't be wholesome. But we need wholesome. The true tongue has to be wholesome because it's a healing tongue. Giving joy and blessing as a tree of life to those who meditate on what's stated. Now, anybody think of something that this might be speaking of? Like the Word of God? This is a wholesome, we can say, as the Word speaks, it is a wholesome tongue. As it's written, it's wholesomely written. It is perfect. There's nothing left there. So the wholesomeness comes from within first. But if it's left to the flesh, there's nothing. There must be the Holy Spirit working within and the cooperation on the part of the believer to be led and guided in a wholesome manner. You and I cannot produce this on our own. It's impossible. Like you can't produce godly love or any of the fruit of the Spirit on your own. They all have to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit in obedience to Him. This is just the way it works. Unbelievers, if you didn't notice this, can use words familiar to us. They can use words just like we use. But they don't use them in the manner we use them, hopefully. They use it many times as a tool of deception, even to themselves, to deceive themselves. They can say they believe these things when in reality they don't. And eventually, what happens to those? They all get caught. They all get caught because it's not in them to go beyond the words. I've met people, and I'm sure you have too, they knew the words, and the words were almost foundational, and then as they moved along, they couldn't get beyond the foundation. There was nothing, there was no growth. There was nothing. They just knew the words because they'd been given the words or witnessed to so many times. They knew all that. And therefore, the more, when you don't have the wholesome tongue, the common tongue of perverseness rises. And this is the tongue that sows discord among the brethren. And if you remember in chapter 6, go back to chapter 6, this is the last of the things in chapter 6 that God hates. Verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. And guess what number seven is? He that soweth discord among the brethren. That's what a perverse tongue does. So, take what we've just looked at. The soft answer compared to grievous words. And most of us have been in situations where we have seen this work both ways. And the grievous words, let me tell you, there was a situation where that we witnessed that stirred up so much anger. I thought there was going to be a fight. And there was no letting up. And it was exactly what I was talking about. It went back and forth. So finally, something happened and they went their own way. So what does that profit? Let's say one is saved and one isn't. What does that profit a saved person? It's a mark. You get a mark on you. Sometimes you wouldn't even want anybody to know that that was a saved person. All right, number two, in the mouth of the wise, using knowledge correctly versus the mouth of fools, pouring out foolishness. Now, I'm not a fan of what I'm going to say, but the pouring has to do with something that is in etiquette, not so good. It's talking about belching out foolishness. That's just what it says, what it's talking about. All right, I'm going to skip the next verse. A healing tongue is a tree of life compared to the mouths of perverseness that divide. A wholesome tongue is not a quiet tongue. It's not a smooth tongue. It's not a talkative tongue. It's not a sharp tongue. It's a wholesome tongue. It's mingled with truth. There's substance to it. You can view things, many things today, videos, movies, TV, have no substance. They're people going through the motion. There's no substance to what they're doing. You can sit and think, does any of this make sense? No, it's not designed to make sense. It's just designed to entertain you. That's not entertainment. It's got to have some substance to it. And a lot of times the substance is perverse. All right? So based on those, you've got three things that deal with the mouth. And then the fourth one is the Lord God seeing everything that's good or evil. I believe we need to make wise choices in the power of the Holy Spirit all the time. Do I? I wish I did. I know I need to do it. I know that Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. If I have a command to be filled with the Spirit, I have the ability to be filled with the Spirit. I have the ability to be under the control of the Holy Spirit and guided and led by Him for good and against evil. And so do you. We all do. And this is important. Chapter 15 has got some great things in it. I was telling Linda earlier, I didn't tell her what I was doing, but I said when I got to that wholesome tongue, I found that the word just kind of exploded. And I thought, I don't know where I'm going to find a whole lot to identify with that. And it was everywhere. I thought, well, I could put two or three messages on this. The wholesome tongue is just everywhere. You go to the store or you see an advertisement for bread and they say, this is wholesome. How do you compare? How do you know that? You have to compare it to something. Just saying it doesn't make it so. It's got to have value. It's got to actually, and when you look at manufactured bread and all the things they put in it, is it really wholesome or not? I mean, there's so many things in so many preservatives, almost everything we have today. What is there that is really wholesome in foods? I mean, I don't want to go down the deep end the other way either, but you have to understand what I'm saying. Wholesome is a powerful word. It's got the truth mingled in with it, so that there's no discrepancy. So, knowing that the Lord saw everything that I did today, whether it's good or evil, doesn't make me want to crawl in the pulpit here and hide. And if there's things that I knew that were wrong, then you make them right. And then you keep moving on. Understand, we are frail, fallen people outside of the grace of God. And our flesh wants nothing to do with any of this. It wants to give grievous words. It wants to pour out foolishness. It wants to be perverse. So, Miley was in art class. And so the teacher was asking about how many languages do you know? And different kids were saying how many languages. And so Miley raised her hand and said, gibberish. And she says, what? Can you give me an example? And she just, you have to know her. And I mean, she just poured right out. So afterwards, one of the kids came up to her and said, do you really know gibberish? She said, yes. Well, give me this word and this word in gibberish. Both of them were profanity. I said, absolutely not. You see, right there, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Perverseness is a breach in the spirit. It has no place in our lives. And praise the Lord, you know, she didn't fall into the trap that the guy was trying to give her. So, what do we do with our tongues? We keep it under control. And invariably, we are going to be ambushed one time or another, maybe tonight, through the rest of the week. And we have to be prepared. We have to be predetermined. I'm not going to go in that direction. If I need to give a soft answer, I'll give a soft answer. I need to use the knowledge correctly, then that's what I want to do. And I want to give, and I want to make sure that I mingle truth with wholesomeness, that that's actually beneficial and fruitful. Very important. Not because I want to not look bad to you, but I don't want to look bad to God. And in looking bad to you, oftentimes makes it even harder in looking bad to God. So I'll stop there, and then we'll pick up next time we go. Thank you, Lord, for the simplicity of the kind of life you want us to lead. You have equipped us with everything we need to do everything we looked at in these four verses. There's nothing there that we do not have. And for us to hide, we know you already see everything. Why don't we make it right? Why don't we confess that to you, repent of that, and then move forward? And why do we not want to do the things that are pleasing in your sight? I think we do. But I think so much of life during the day is the flesh. And it needs to be, we can still do things in the flesh, but we need to be controlled and led by the Spirit. I mean, otherwise if we don't have the flesh, then all we have is the Spirit. And we do not believe in the eradication of the flesh, so we need to keep under control the things that we do, especially the things we say. And I pray that you just move upon our hearts to take these things and put them to use. It's important. We know, I believe most everyone here knows what is right. And so we should use that knowledge right, the things we speak. So I'm just thankful for everyone that's here. I know we didn't come here by accident. And we pray that you would just use us now in your power, through your Spirit, to be able to not only live right, but speak right and win people to you, both in the Christian life and then also to be saved as well. And pray that you dismiss us with your blessing. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.